So let's contrast the game to Mass. You know, my liturgical celebration in my second religion and liturgical celebration in my first religion, all righty? But think about it. If you look at Sunday Mass the same way you look at going to the game, you know, think about taking your child to the game. There's an excitement around going to the game. There's a genuine excitement. Oh my gosh, yeah, we're ready. You're ready for the game. We're doing all this. You know, we're getting our gear on. We got our colors on. You know, you got the pom-poms. You got all this stuff to create the excitement and the anticipation of going to the game. We can do the same for Mass. Now, while the outcome of the Mass is not as uncertain, sometimes my mom used to always joke, I asked her, how was Mass? She says, well, I've seen it before. you know, but there is a drama that's going on that must be related to the kids. First of all, it's the drama of the crucifixion itself. The Mass is a time machine. It's a chance for us to stand at the foot of the cross. Think about it this way. Our Lord didn't want his time on Calvary to be something that was only shared with three other people, mm-hmm. his Blessed Mother, Mary Magdalene, and John, the beloved disciple. He wanted to share it with all of us. And the prelate of Opus Dei had an image one time that I thought was very profound. He says, have you ever been to a big event and seen a picture of this big event, whether it's the Super Bowl or you know, the canonization of somebody? I mean, just something where you've got a gazillion people out there. And you'll see a picture of it, and you'll go, oh, there I am. I can see me. I was right there next to that pillar. I think that's me right there. Well, the Mass is what allows us to stand next to the cross with the entire Christian humanity for all time and say, I was there. See me. I was there. And that's what we do at the Mass. Is that at that time, when we as young kids had that view, when Judas was abandoning our Lord, betraying our Lord, when Peter was abandoning him, when no one else was there, remember that instinct we had as little kids that said, God, I wouldn't have done that. I'd have been there with you. Well, this is a chance for you to do it, to follow up with that. At the Mass, I can be there with you. And so while the drama of the Mass may not be as apparent as it is at the game, I think we can present it as such if we'll only believe it ourselves and show that to our kids. Think about when you take your kids to the games for the first time. What do? You take your kid, he's 8 years old, 7 years old, you take him to a football game. What are you going to do during the game? Just let the kid sit there? He has no idea what's going on. Why is that happening? Why is that? Do you do the same for Mass? You explain everything to him in the game. Have you done the same for him at Mass? Have you explained to him the Mass? Does he understand the parts of the Mass? They're ancient history. Does he understand the Eucharist and how he should be overwhelmed by what God has given us? I mean, think about it. God gives himself, his infinite self, in the Eucharist. That we unite to the infinite, to the eternal, in the Eucharist. This is the greatest gift that ever was. I mean, our Lord is on the cross. He's stripped. He's naked. I mean, we usually cover him up as a sense of modesty, but he's naked. Completely humiliated on the cross. He's got no clothes. He's got nothing in his mind. And he gives us on the cross the last thing he has, which is his Blessed Mother. But then, in the Eucharist, he's given us even more. He's completely emptied us. He's given us his very being. All that he has. As St. Augustine says, although God is all-powerful, he is unable to give more than the Eucharist. Though supremely wise, he knows not how to give more. Though infinitely rich, he has not more to give. Do our kids understand that gift? I mean, we explain to them the strategy of the football call or the basketball or what's going on in the baseball game. Do we explain to them the reality of what's going on in the Mass? When you get home from the game, what do you guys usually do? Talk about it, okay? You relive it. You talk about the good and the bad, the plays of the game or the good shots on the course if you went golfing or whatever. And when you get home from Mass, what do? You've forgotten it. Talk about it instead. Relive the plays of the game, as it were, in particular the readings and the gospel and the homily. It's worth going over again, revisiting. Mention the things that moved your heart during the Mass, the sentiments that that God placed in your soul. Share that with you. Because you would do the same for the game. Gosh, do you remember when it was fourth and one and he decided to go for it? I was going crazy because it was a bad move and, you know, they made it. Or I knew they shouldn't have because he got stuffed at the line. All righty? Well, do we have, you know, we have sentiments, or we should have sentiments during Mass, things that God moves us to do and to think. So think about that after the game, and also in preparation for the game. Do you typically read the newspaper and the post and pregame commentary? Do we want to find out what's happening with this player or that player? Well, maybe we should do the same things for our faith in the Mass. Can we look at the players in the church's team, the saints, their achievements, their great struggles? Do you aspire to their holiness? I wish I could be Michael Jordan. Gosh, that guy's amazing. Can we talk about the fortitude and holiness and virtue of saints? Gosh, that guy's amazing. I wish I could be as holy as that person. Have we ever said that to our kids? I want to be that holy. Okay. Now, when it comes to golf, golf is the only sport I know where I can watch Tiger Woods hit a 320-yard drive, and I say, you know, I can do that. And I don't know why that is, but, you know, I've had that one shot every round where I say, gosh, I could get good at this game, you know, which brings me back to it. But anyway, but do you aspire to holiness? Do you say, I wish I could be as holy as they are? Now, think about it when our kids are playing sports. Do you look to support their faith as much as you support their activities? How many of you here coach or have coached? Okay. How many of you here have taught CCD? All right. Well, damn it. All right. All right. You guys are too good. All right. So that... throw that guilt out. Okay. Anyway, same idea, though, is do I support them in their faith journey as much as I support them in their athletic journey? Okay. Think about injury. Think about injury in their sports when they hurt themselves. There's a parallel with confession. Okay. They're going to injure themselves spiritually. They need to see that there's a time and a way for healing, and that healing is confession. Let me talk about confession. As a father, and I said this earlier, I'll repeat it again, it is the single most important thing I did to raise my kids was to get them to go to weekly confession. As soon as they had their first confession, and it wasn't like, you have to go to confession, it was, will you go to confession with me? And when they're early on, they want to be with Dad. Come on, let's go to confession. God, I'm going to go get cleaned. You don't drag them along. They'll accompany you. To the point where my son, who's the private equity guy right now, when he was 12 years old in the middle of summer heat in Tucson, I remember this in the July weekend, we were all gone when the time came for confession. He walked a mile to church so he could go to confession on his own because he developed the habit and had gotten the sense of peace that comes from confession. And I think it's important you understand that weekly confession conveys psychological benefits too. Think about what confession does for a kid at the human level. Self-knowledge. The ability to acknowledge their own errors. In sports, they do that all the time. Bad pass, my bad. All right, you see it. Yeah, my bad. Same thing with confession. My bad. Acknowledge your errors, and you teach them sincerity. I think it'd be worthwhile for you guys to help them with their examination of conscience. I mean, you don't have to have them confess to you, just help them walk through it. But express your joy in the sacrament's healing and the freedom, the liberation it gives you. Daily practice and working out, daily prayer. Can't get stronger. You can't become a good athlete if you don't work out. Can't become a good Catholic unless you work out. They have to see prayer as a natural part of life, not as an overlay. It's just, it fills the day just as much as going to the bathroom, eating dinner, and everything else does. Prayer is a natural part of the day, and invite them to pray with you and for you. It's very important for you to ask your kids to pray for you, because they love you, and they want what's good for you, okay? And if you tell them, look, I'm having trouble, without burdening them too much with concern, I need your prayers on this. You need to be my ally. You need to cover my back here. Alrighty, you need to take out the left end so I can run the ball here. I need you to do that. A couple ideas quickly. Grace before meals, absolutely mandatory. And at restaurants.
Yes.
Okay. Try to find a time at least once during the week to say a family rosary. awareness of the Blessed Sacrament. When you pass a Catholic church, we had a custom. We'd always go by. We'd say, hi, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Goodbye, Jesus. You know, it was just one of these quick things, but at least we acknowledge that he was there. Say nighttime prayers with them. So if your sports and hobbies are part of your daily discussion with God, faith and morals should also be. Use dinner time for those purposes. My kids say one of the most important times that got them to buy into the faith was the dinner time conversations. We relate the day's events in the context of faith and morals. Especially at a time when my kids are growing up when Bill Clinton was having his things. I won't go there. You know, I'm amazed that some families don't have family dinners. I'm blown away by that. And a lot of my kids, their children are amazed by this whole concept of having a family dinner. You guys have got to have family dinners. But be sure faith is a regular part of that conversation. I have seen households where the mention of God makes everybody uncomfortable. You know, they kind of... How could that be? And I'm talking Catholic households. How could that be? This should be a regular part of the conversation. So establish your communication with kids at that level and comfort them to discuss matters of the faith. Bottom line is, if you love your God, you should be able to talk about him. All righty. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up. I hope I gave you some context to this sort of the sports analogy about presenting the faith to your children so they buy into it, so they fall in love with it. You know, none of these is a guarantee that a child will actually embrace the faith. After all, they're creatures that have a free will, and sometimes they use it destructively, and we can't help that. But that's another reason to have a strong daily prayer life on your own. I've known many fathers who are good Catholics and live their faith devoutly, but they were not able to communicate it to their children. You know, for some reason, to this point, I've been blessed with that. It remains a mystery to me. I can't understand that. I've been blessed with the children and with wife who have decided to accompany me in this journey. And in the end, it really just depends on God's grace. It's nothing really that I did. But you got to give the foundation, because grace builds on nature, and we need to do what we can to excite the sentiments in our children and bend their will to fully embrace the greatest gift God gave them other than their own life, which is their faith. Alrighty? God bless you, and thanks for letting me have the chance to convey to you my thoughts on raising your kids.